Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on Earth. Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast. You'll gasp. You'll laugh. And you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hey!
And Matt Bradshaw.
Oh, shit, hi.
Welcome!
episode.
I forgot that not everyone looks.
Episode 14 and...
Still learning.
Still learning.
Do you reckon my hands are in shot if I do this?
No.
And now?
Yes.
Hooray!
Do you reckon if it's a podcast, they're definitely not in shot?
It's twice in 38 and a half seconds that I've forgotten that not everyone watches. Not everyone watches, anyway.
I reckon, do you know what I reckon's happening right now, though? That if people are just listening, they're looking at their phone.
Yeah, good.
Because
I
we said,
so.
Are you... Yeah. I'd do that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm weird. I'm going to turn more to face you because I want to see you. I like
sounds
face.
Like a character in Lord of the Rings.
Turn more to face you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Lord of the Rings.
Ah. No.
What's going on? What's going on?
I can't believe it's been 1 minute 43 seconds since we started this podcast already. I feel like we've been here for hours.
I'll tell you what's going on. Last night,
yes.
I went to see The Dark Tower.
Oh. Good?
Nah.
Shit. Who's in it?
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Some other people.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Who might possibly be made of wood.
In this particular
film. Because yeah, right. I think he's great.
Yeah. Do you think maybe what's happening is they've done that digital imaging thing
gibby
where...
Gibby.
Yeah,
gibby. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is.
That's a new thing. I haven't heard of it.
They do the image facial reconstruction thing to make people look the way they want to. So they'll film them. And then they'll run that through the computer program to make them look not as tired or old or...
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Apparently it is. It's how, you know, Julia Roberts doesn't look 50 in her movies now. She still looks, you know, 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you and I are using right now?
No, we're just using an iPhone 7. The iPhone 8 Plus, though, that's going to have that capability.
Is it?
Have you seen that?
No, what?
Yeah, The new thing with the iPhone 8 Plus is going to have crazy photo manipulation
like
on the spot. Not kind of like super duper fancy Snapchat, but for actual photography. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. See, I'm a Stephen King fan.
Yes.
And there was like 7 books in the Dark Tower series?
No idea. Do you know why? I don't know. Because he's scary.
No, the books are scary, but they're not Stephen King, like Carrie...
Not It.
Like It. They're not It. Neither is the movie.
I actually want to see It.
Dude!
I really want to.
Next Monday. We were going to go Tuesday, but yeah. It's your birthday. In fact, it's been your birthday. It was your birthday 2 days ago. Good party, dude.
Thanks, man.
Wicked party.
Oh, my God. I ate so much chocolate. I bought so much chocolate. I spent $112 yesterday on chocolate.
Really?
For my party.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like 25 Ferrero Rochers when they're not on special.
Well, I bought everything at practically half price.
Really?
Yeah, I went. So I did my dad thing. I didn't do my dad, but I
didn't even mean to pull a face when you said it. It happened subconsciously.
I went to one supermarket, got the things that are on special, then popped over the road to the other one. I got the things that are on special there.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant you price matched.
No,
went to like the Good Guys equivalent of.
Is there a confectionery store and you can price match?
I'm sure there's not.
There's a business opportunity for us.
Nah.
Yeah.
Price match the candy store.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm workshopping. It's not a great name for a business.
No, but what would it be? What could we call it? See?
Handy
I haven't done
candy?
Any prep. Handy candy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it doesn't immediately elucidate the idea that there's price matching involved.
No, but it does sort of infer that, you know, anyone could have a bit of fun there. It's
7 books.
Yeah, right.
And it's hugely expansive and it's, you know...
Did they condense everything into one movie?
Mm.
Oh, right.
such in a world.
In a world.
In a world.
In a world
you
where...
You've seen that film, haven't you?
Yeah, it's
that's
bloody
one
great.
Of the best films of the last 10 years.
Did I tell you to watch that?
I had already seen it.
Ah, that's
but,
right.
But that was great.
I remember the genesis, yes.
It was
yes.
great when you said, oh, watch the film, you're going to love it. And I said, you're right, I
yeah,
did love it.
You yeah. remember that. That's yeah. exactly right. That was how it happened. And I, funnily enough, I just said, you remember then instead of I remember. That's I've never done that before. Anyway, in a world where studios just want to build franchises, I can't fathom that they didn't try to make this into a trilogy.
Right.
Oh. And instead, it goes for about an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, there's right. it's short. Which so is good because like a... I fell asleep in it.
Oh.
yeah.
And not just not just because you were tired.
I was tired. I right. am tired.
Yeah.
But I was tired of watching that movie. That's
oh,
for damn sure.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. I mean, you know, I don't read reviews before I go and see films. And I don't watch trailers either.
Oh, I'm a huge... I'll sit down for oh, an yeah. hour at a time and watch bulk trailers.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just sit on IMDb and watch trailers for
no.
one after another. Yep.
So I went to the movies a couple of weeks ago and saw the trailer for Dark Tower and thought, eh. And then maybe forgot that I thought that about it. And then it was suggested that we went to see it. And so I said, yeah, yeah, I'm excited. And then during the day, I thought, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then...
Does it look quite... Does it look like to you, he's... Sometimes I'll see a film and I'll say, okay, so these two actors have a 10-picture deal with this particular company, like, say, Paramount or Warner Brothers. So they sign up for 10 movies and they've got to make... four which have X amount of budget in the contract says four of them have got a $200 million budget, right? And the rest we'll kind of see what happens, right?
Nice.
So then they go, Stephen King's It is going to come out, right? So we own the script, we bought the script to Dark Tower or the rights for the script. So then we pump out a script, you guys owe us another four movies, we'll put this thing together on a $50 million budget. Bang, 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 gets done in 6 weeks, and then we'll capitalize on the fact that Stephen King's going to get press for It, and then we'll put it out at the same time. And so that's a way that you meet your contract obligations.
No, that's how shit works.
Yeah, I think they do. They got a lot of those things. Like when you see,
you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, particularly about movies and generally about yeah. things. But you know what? I think we need a new segment. It's called "That's How Shit Works."
That's how shit works.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can just tell us all about stuff.
First thing we will talk about is how shit works.
Oh, no, I know how shit works.
Ah.
Do you know how I know?
How?
Because I've just gone back to drinking coffee.
Oh.
Dude. Super regular.
That's actually how coffee works.
Well, one follows the other. It's a chicken and egg theory.
Well.
Oh, yeah, no, one can't come before the other. You no. can't put the cart before the horse when it comes to shit and coffee.
That's right. Yep.
Although I have drunk some shit coffee. Do you know what happened today?
I'm about to go to America.
Oh, dude. When I went to Hawaii, the worst coffee.
I actually got to say, when I was in New York last year, coffee was good.
Did it come out of those big pumpy thermos things?
Some of them.
So weird.
But in New York in particular, coffee culture is really starting to take off. And even there's places called Australian coffee, like where you can get, you know, yeah. barista-made coffee. But the best coffee I had was at Starbucks.
I reckon people give Starbucks a bad rap that's unfounded.
Yeah, I don't quite like it in Australia. It's a little bit like McDonald's coffee, though. Comparatively.
McDonald's so well-travelled.
I've been to Australia and New York. I'm about to go to Las Vegas.
And you rode around Europe for 150 weeks.
Three.
But in 3 weeks.
But in dog weeks, it's close. He knows I'm going away. Sprocket absolutely knows. I got the bag down and he's like, what's going on? And he's been stuck by my side. And he absolutely knows I'm going away.
Aww.
Yeah, poor dude.
Aww.
Yeah. Because her mum said...
You get your bag down, he looks out the door. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's as...
And then I realised I was away for 7 weeks and in dog years, that's a year. Like 7 weeks.
It's logarithmic, isn't it?
Dogarithmic, you mean?
I set him up, you knock him down, son.
I don't mean to hound you.
But
I'll be dogged.
You done?
Just scratching the surface.
Anyway.
Yep, I think we collared that joke.
So, yeah. All right, I think we buried it.
Hey, I got a bone to pick with you.
Have you?
No.
Oh, well, I'll be doggone. Well, you will be.
Yeah.
He won't be.
Oh, my God, this is a podcast.
We should do
this
professionally.
We're insane.
No, we're not. This is just a conversation.
Email us and tell us whether we're insane or not.
So it should have been a franchise.
Yes.
Do you know when I first knew that there was going to be something wrong? When the session was for 9:30, but the movie didn't start until 5 to 10.
Because of the ads.
Because of the ads, yeah. Because they knew the movie was so damn short that they had to fill it out.
Yep. 25 minutes is pretty standard.
Get out!
No,
25.
It's my house.
25 minutes is...
Yeah. Yeah, 20 for a new release, 25 minutes of ads and trailers is pretty standard. Yep.
I didn't do any research, as usual, for this show.
No, I'm just saying, when I used to work at the cinema...
No, I'm not looking up to see... Is Dom correct? Is 25 minutes...
How shit works. So, generally, the advertising company in this case would be Val Morgan, who do the ads. They don't designate the trailers that go on. That's done in-house at the cinemas.
Yeah, right. $60 million budget.
Yeah,
it's only a little one.
Yeah, I reckon they're just like, we'll sign up for this. Because that's, for me, I remember probably like 15 years ago, I was starting to go, why on earth is Robert De Niro and Al Pacino making these kind of weird films? Is it just because they've had a crazy, amazing career and now they're just doing things for fun? And I kind of started to think that maybe it was they were getting front-ended $100 million bucks to make 10 movies, some of which would be designed to go to cinema and some of which were designed to go straight to DVD or now Netflix or now, you know, whatever. And that, I really think that's the case. So certain actors like, you know, the Tom Cruises, everything goes to cinema. But then others... You know, we'll kind of go, well, some are going to be this and some are going to be that. And the other thing is they don't necessarily know which actors are going to get cast in what. So...
Yeah.
So, like, the Idris Elba, for example, only recently has really become, like, a big name.
Yep.
So maybe 6 years ago he signed a 10-picture deal and he's now got to go, well, I guess I've got to fulfill my contract before I can... So I can get out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Do you think... So I don't know if we've... Oh, God. I knew it was always going to be like this. I don't know if we've spoken about this before, but I feel like we have. When we've talked about, particularly when it comes to music and someone saying, blah, blah, this new album's shit compared to their last one. It's like, no one sets out to make shit art. Like, I think people do the best they can with what they're doing. But when it comes to a film...
Good.
I wonder whether... Do you reckon they know it's rubbish when they're in it? But they're in it, and what the fuck do you do?
I think, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think there's... I think, you know, if you've got the script or if you're going, right, we're only doing two takes of this because it's a six-week shoot and this is our budget, this is what we're going to do. I think they probably know what they're working with. Often.
Hard.
And other times, I think they don't give a shit because they're having a ball. That what's it called, the Wall or the Great Wall or whatever it was, the recent Matt Damon film, was a Chinese produced film about the effectively what it is Matt Damon is from the West and he goes to the East to find gunpowder or dynamite, whatever it is. But you know, it's in that kind of, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th century time. So there's rumours over here that if we go far enough east, we can find this stuff. Anyway, they hit the Great Wall of China. And then it turns out that there are these alien-type beasts that every 70-odd years attack. The reason why there is a Great Wall is not to keep bad guys out. It's to keep these cyclic beasts that are from outer space that have come and try to attack the Chinese. It's... absolutely phenomenally absurd, this story, and it was huge, huge budget. The animation in it's crazy amazing, right? But the story is ridiculous, and it almost, and Matt Damon's got this kind of weird Irishy kind of accent as well. Actually, on screen, a dozen times, it looks like they have purposefully picked a shot where he's taking the piss out of the movie. Like, because it also looks like he's having an absolute ball. Looks like it's a great time, right? But it's definitely not a serious film.
Okay.
Although it's done in a way, it's got the budget of a serious film. It's just, you know, when you're watching it, you're kind of going, "Oh my god, this is entertaining." Not because it's good; it's because it's absurd. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And that's not. I don't think that's the initial decision making. I think it's just happened along the way where they've gone.
That's so weird.
It's really, really
well bizarre. for a huge budget film. That's really weird.
Yeah, and for a huge budget film with a huge star who doesn't generally.
Is this a new film?
It totally came out. Yeah, it's on. It only came out maybe 5 or 6 months ago.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I'd recommend people watch it just to see something that's kind of not quite right.
Okay.
You know, in this kind of world where, you know, you watch
in
stuff
a
and
world.
You think that things are supposed to be exactly as they're presented. But so that thing about you were saying about, you know, do you think they know? I think sometimes maybe they don't necessarily know going in, but while they're doing it, they're like, oh, it's going to be a bit of a shit sandwich. I'm just going to have to live with it, you know.
Are they allowed to say that? Shit sandwich.
Shit sandwich, well, yeah.
Two nights ago was your birthday.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Shall we, the night before your birthday party, go and see it, which is next Monday?
I can't because I've already gone to a show with my mum.
What show did you go to see?
I went to see one of my old uni friends, Carla Hillam, in her Butterfly Club show, which I highly recommend you come and see when we've already been to see it.
Okay, great. What was it called?
Ducky. I think.
Okay.
I should look that up.
I can't believe you've already forgotten.
Oh, I don't. I just know where I've got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I sometimes don't even know that.
Yeah. But I do want to see it because it, the film, not Carla's show.
Mm.
I do want to see because I saw the first one.
Mm.
And terrifying. But
was it actually?
Well, for me, yeah. I'm a scaredy cat.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, when did it come out?
Yeah, well, probably around then.
Okay.
Yeah. And so now I want to see what they've done with it. The trailers are terrifying. I went to see the new Tom Cruise film with my brother the other night in the cinema. I was doing this where the trailer was on. I had my hand over my eyes. I'm going, and my brother's laughing at me. He's like, wow, you're really scared, aren't you? Like, yeah.
I tried to get Nico Sinclair, the drummer,
to
go with us last night, but because we've just come back from the Ralph Thomas Festival gigs up in Brisbane, he didn't want to leave his new baby.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Redfest.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good fun?
Yeah, good fun.
Yeah, we haven't debriefed about it. This is what podcasting's for.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Save it for the podcast, Bradshaw.
I didn't realise. I've only been there this year and last year, but it's been going for 59 years.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. It's obviously in a place called Red...
It's in a place called Redland Bay.
Right.
Cool. Which is about 40 minutes from Brisbane.
Yep.
Yeah. And like a really kind of family-orientated festival. So there's rides and there's show bags and... stuff. And
did
then
you get a show back?
No, I didn't. And then there's, live music all over the place. So we played before Troy Cassar Daly.
Cool.
Who I have not seen since I met him when I was gigging in Alice Springs.
I didn't know you did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, years ago.
Cool.
Years and years ago.
I've never been.
Before Melbourne.
To Alice Springs.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been
a couple of times.
South Australia or the Northern Territory.
Never been. Wow.
I mean, you know. It's just not one of those things that just crops up.
No, I guess not. I haven't been any further north than Alice Springs, though. So I've never.
Oh, I lie. I did land in Darwin to go to Singapore, I think.
You didn't leave the airport, though.
Well, I walked out the front doors. It was hot.
It is hot. And you can buy beers in, like, 2 litre bottles.
What?
No, maybe 1.125.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, NT Lager.
Wow.
Yeah, there's big brown.
Oh, yeah, there's no such thing is a responsible service of alcohol. I won't say this. I won't tell the story on the podcast.
No?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell it to you some other time.
All right, dude.
If you guys want to hear the story, bail me up somewhere else, I'll tell you.
Troy Cassar Daly.
Yes.
Just one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
Oh, good.
Really, really sweet fella. Hello.
We may have spoken about this on the podcast before, but do you find it funny when people meet people and then they relay the story and they say, he was a really nice guy? It's like when you meet someone who's well known, you actually expect them to be a bit of an ass, and then you're surprised when they're not. See, like for me, I meet people all the time and usually people are really nice.
Mm.
Like very rarely, I cannot remember the last time I met someone for the first time and went, what a jerk.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Do you know, like, but
when I say in this instance, it's because he actually went out of his way to be a nice guy.
I would do.
He wasn't just,
yeah.
Hey, you know, and like, you know, he wasn't just friendly. He was, they were in there, because it's an outdoor festival.
Yeah.
Everything's brought in. So the stage is a massive tent.
Yeah, cool.
With a, you know, stage built in there and all that sort of stuff. And then, but the dressing rooms are all sort of tenty marquee things, yeah, as well. And so we turned up for our second gig. So we did two gigs on the Saturday and one on the Sunday. We turned up on the Sunday for the third gig that we were doing up there. And him and his entourage had already arrived and were doing their stuff. Yeah. They had their, you know, their buffet and their drinks and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, us guys just being the little kids on the block, we just hung outside. And then one of them came out and said, you can come in here with us. It's like, no, we're from Melbourne. The sun's, we just want sun. It's great. And then, yeah, he came out and said hello to us all and you know, said, you come in. You just have to.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, nice experience.
I like how you kind of separate yourself from the rest of the sort of more Burgundy types like me in the way that you pronounce his name.
What, in what sense?
See, I just say Troy Casser Daily. Troy Casser. And you like Troy Casser Daily.
Oh.
Yeah. Well pronounced.
Thanks, man. Is that how it's supposed to be pronounced?
I don't know. Oh. I'm a bit of a, you know, country. Oh. I'm a bit of a country yobbo guy, so I just say Casser.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If there's an R on the end of a word,
yeah,
I don't say that R. I don't pronounce the A as if it's going into the R.
It's also C-A-S-S-A-R, not E-R. Yeah. So it's very much a Casser.
Casser. You know, me Casser, Sue Casser.
What if that's what his kids' names are?
Me and Sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be.
I don't think they are.
No.
Anyway. But the gigs were good.
Great.
You know, as a singer though, although you never really struggle.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, I sit next to you. You don't ever struggle. This is such a weird... I'm pointing to my throat. Oh, I'm looking at the camera. You can see I'm pointing to my throat. Listeners, I'm pointing to my throat. I say, listeners. Hey, listeners. I'm pointing to my throat.
Are you waiting for a response?
No, just seeing how close I can get to Rodney Rood without actually channeling it.
Without unswearing.
This is such a fallible little piece of gear, this throat thing.
Yeah.
That for no apparent reason, a lot of the time, will work one day and not the next. So the two gigs on Saturday. So I only did, I worked Thursday night, Friday night, and then we flew up, and it was early. Like, I mean, I was up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning to fly.
So.
Is that my penis?
No, that's first point of why some days it works.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to reduce it to its. Hmm. Anyway.
I'm amazed that yours makes a noise.
It does some mornings. Yeah. I slept on the flight.
Yeah.
And then the boys woke me up with a beer. So that Bing! Was... Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, and lots of talking and all that sort of thing. Yeah, bing.
Bing! Yep. Sorry, I'm just warming up for tonight's gig.
Everyone else was fine. And I'm not the lead vocalist in that band. Like, there's four singers.
Are you the crazy high vocalist, though?
Yeah, not the crazy high vocalist, but
the high full voice vocal.
High full voice vocal. I don't sort of do harmonies in falsetto.
Yeah.
Partly because I don't have very good falsetto.
Right.
And partly because I think falsetto, sometimes it carries, sometimes it's exactly the right thing, but sometimes it's not. So those two things in combination work neatly for me because I don't have any falsetto. I can easily say I don't think it works.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting belief system.
Yeah, thanks, man. So both gigs on Saturday, I felt really subpar. And Geordie, who sits next to me playing percussion and singing.
Geordie's...
he's sitting down. He's not... He is short, but he's not that short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it sounded fine. But I could just hear, you know when my voice does that, like upper register, yeah. and it just feels like your vocal folds are just doing this. Horrible. It was that every top note was like that. So not only did it sound like shit to me, like the notes were there, but they just weren't clean. And it's got to be, clean. And it's rough stuff.
He's not a growly, shouty dude.
So everything needs to sit. Yeah. That's the whole thing about being a backing vocalist is you need to sing like everybody else is singing. Mm. So it sounds like one big fat harmonised voice. Yeah. So I was really disappointed with the way I sang and like the way it sounded. And also knowing that when my voice does that, that's doesn't just sound shit in the moment, it means that it sounds shit the next day as well, because all that stuff, all that scratchy, horrible stuff that happens is damaging and tiring. Yeah. But of course the next day was fucking great. So go figure.
Yeah, I...
Next day was
my
like
personal experience is... and this is not to suggest it's likely for other people, but my personal experience is if I'm cautious and if I'm fearful of what my voice is capable of doing today, then it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm and if I'm clear about it, then we've spoken about this before, like I sing, my voice does this between A and it does this between C, right? I don't have sometimes I have up to G in a, I don't mean like as notes, but I mean like as levels of like I can do this in my voice some days, I can't. I think people like you, I think you've got days where you can ratchet it up to level this level G, right? And other days where you're tired and whatnot and you go, oh, far out, just even getting past D is really tough for me today. Whereas I don't have that. I'm always just like, my voice just does the same thing all the time and it sits in this like little narrow space of this is what Dom sings like.
I think somewhere between your explanation and another place is probably more the truth. Like when I say to you, you are just consistent. You always just sound great. And you've always got the notes you've got.
But I never...
think that sits in a narrow range.
Yeah, but I was thinking, it's like, I never try to sing a B natural in full voice. I just know my voice doesn't do it and I never try. So if I'm ever singing a song in that key, I don't want to hit that note, I go, I'm going to sing that in falsetto. And because of that... like it generally is always there. Whereas a lot of people who can hit a B, like, you know, you and Rocky and Geordie, like, you know, got those notes in full voice, but sometimes it's harder. Like, so for me, like, I just don't ever try to sing beyond what's comfortable. And that, I think that's, yeah, my experience.
The thing I also find frustrating about me as a performer and as a vocalist is that I, after having done this for 20 years, I feel like I should, like the sound on Saturday wasn't great at all. It was really harsh, really high MIDI and very
festival-y,
just harsh, like really brittle.
Yeah.
And
gear that's supposed to last a long time as opposed to sound good.
Yeah. All right. But I feel like my music brain should be able to get past, should know how it feels to get those notes out and not be relying on, I don't mean that I couldn't even hear myself. It just sounded
difficult. I don't think the psychology works that way. I think
that's the problem.
I think you're always responding to everything that's going on in the environment and how that sound in front of you directly relates to how you feel and therefore how this feels. And my experience is with that kind of thing, even just doing juror stuff with you, and that's why I often bring a fold back. It's just kind of go, just that little bit of emotional security about sound means I sing emotionally secure, which means, you know, it sounds like I'm never pushing, because I'm not, because my brain says you don't have to push. And then if I don't have that, my brain's going, you have to push. And then so I do, even though maybe actually I don't. I think it's impossible to remove the environmental influence and just kind of go with this is how it should feel.
So, Yeah. Some people seem to be able to do it, though.
It's like the guitarist who, like, you know, oh, I need to be able to hear myself. I personally, like, in a scenario where it's about the guitar playing, then, yeah, I completely understand that. But the reality is when you're playing in a band, 90% of the time, the guitar playing's got fuck all to do with the importance of the gig. It's like you're a backing guitar. Basically, you're part of the overall sound. It is not the Domitaliano guitar solo show, except for maybe three or four times in the gig where you get to play a solo. But the rest of the time, you don't need to be louder than everything else and be heard all the time and have the perfect tone. If you feel that way about it, then that's okay. I'm not saying you're a dick. I'm just saying for me, I don't have to be loud.
I am saying you're a dick.
I'm just saying, like, I should be, as the guitar player on the side of the stage, if I'm guitar playing in the band, I feel like on stage, everyone should be able to hear the vocals over everything else. Now, that's my attitude towards it. But I get when guitar players, like, oh, you know, they're massively loud and they just want to feel the guitar sound and all that kind of stuff. I get that, right? But, like, if you don't have that, then it is really hard to play to the level at which you want, because you want the response of, you know, the subtleties of responding to the guitar and the tone and the feedback and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's why I use in-ears at band gigs.
So
I have guitar and vocal.
Yeah, but as a guitar player, I fucking hate in-ears because it doesn't sound like what playing guitar sounds like.
It does.
But I don't think it does. And that's what we're talking about how you feel about your environment, you know. When I do in-ears gigs, I literally feel like I'm listening to my worst nightmare of what a band sounds like. Because a band for me sounds like in the space in the room. It doesn't sound like I should be listening to it in headphones. Like that sounds like what I should, if I'm.
But it's a one earphone thing. Then you can hear the band in one ear, and you can hear exactly what you're doing in the other.
Right, and I don't feel like that's an accurate representation of my experience, because you listen with both ears, and so I want if the drums
and without prejudice,
if the drum is there and the bass is over there, I want that coming into this ear, right, and I want this to be whatever else is happening in the room over here.
Oh, wow!
And then whatever's coming to me there, and it's all that it sounds. The reality is that you just have to work with what you've got, right. But sometimes it's really comfortable and really easy, and sometimes that's just a massive confusion to your emotional response to the sound.
Yeah,
look,
okay.
Me being Italian today.
Yeah, so yeah. Italian.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I know now is if I ever get on Concordia 2 and it sinks, I just have to talk about being in a band.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you want to do some movie wordges?
Yeah, we should, because apparently we've only got 7 minutes to go before we have to finish this episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's much better.
All right.
That's the feedback I got.
From who?
From
fuck
many,
them.
Many people. From many people.
So that was the obligatory swear that I have to put in every episode to...
I think you've done more than that already.
Fuck you.
That's awkward.
Do you want to do song wordages first?
Yep.
Have you got yours on your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, you're good. I wasted tree.
Yeah, well, don't waste trees.
All right. I'm going to go with here. I'll give you the explanation. You have to give me the song words. All right. Taylor Swift meets David Bowie in a song about star-crossed lovers meeting Major Tom.
Taylor Swift.
Yep.
David Bowie.
Yep.
Blank Space Oddity.
Yes.
Hey! Cool one.
Thanks.
Okay.
I tried my best.
AC/DC.
Oh.
Meets the Carpenters in a song about it being a tremendous distance to the peak of...
It's a long way to the top of something.
Where did the Carpenters stand?
I don't know.
Really?
On top of Smokey?
Oh, that's a long way to the top of the world.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know Carpenters.
Really?
Yeah. I don't. Oh. Couldn't even tell you a single Carpenter song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my next one's a good one.
Oh, well, I don't know if this one is. Louis Armstrong.
Yes.
Thinks to himself, yes, that Crowded House's steady hand could move a mountain.
Oh, God, now I've got to sing the song. Yeah. There's steady hand, movement, there must be something missing. Yeah. Where you go. Okay. Okay, well, that's a...
Yeah.
Louis Armstrong.
Yes.
It's a beautiful world where you live.
Really? It's not a beautiful world.
Oh, it's a wonderful world.
Yeah.
Sorry, Devo, it's a beautiful world.
It's a wonderful world where you live.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, B.B. King and Paul Lukakis.
What's a Paul Lukakis?
Oh, Paul Lukakis was a one-hit wonder from the 80s.
Oh.
90s? Don't know.
All right.
Really?
B.B. King?
Yep.
Thrill Has Gone?
No.
To Hollywood?
It's a tough one if you don't know who Paul Lukakis is.
No.
The bit of the chorus that isn't in the song title goes, let's go back to my room.
Ah, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. What's the B.B. King song? Is it boom, boom? Sorry, it's boom, 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 boom. That's magic. Oh, I love it. That's brilliant.
No, well done. You got
that.
All right.
The Eagles and the Mamas and the Papas sing about accommodation while the leaves are brown and the sky is grey.
Hotel California Dreaming. That's good.
Good.
The Androids and the Beatles.
I want to do it with Lady Madonna.
It's good.
Did you some movie ones? Have you got movie ones too?
Can I give you a Crowded House one?
Oh, yeah.
Vivaldi and Crowded House.
The Four Seasons in One Day.
There you go. Well done.
Oh, I love that because it's just the.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Very good. Movie wedge?
Yep.
All right. Bruce Willis.
I'm fearful I might have done some of these before. Anyway, you'll tell me. Right. You'll tell me immediately if the first one is one that you've... Yep.
Cool. All right. Bruce Willis.
Yep.
And the Beatles meet on Christmas Eve to battle Alan Rickman instead of Sleeping Like a Log. So, Bruce Willis.
I know. Sorry, because my first go-to was Die Help.
All right. Help was not their first film, but this was the Beatles' first movie.
Like a log.
Yeah.
Which is Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
Hard Die. No, Hard. Okay, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What Really?
Yeah, you're on the right track. So what was the film that...
Hard Day's Night.
Die Hard Day's Night.
Yep. Movies are way harder for me because I know them and haven't seen them.
1980s one-hit wonders are hard for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Tobey Maguire.
Mm.
Okay. And Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
In a movie where the superhero is always positive.
The Spider Yes Man.
Ha ha! See?
Nice.
You're good. Good. Hey, is Jim Carrey okay?
I reckon he's fine.
Okay.
I reckon he's just operating on a different level.
What do you think he's actually doing?
I think he's calling out the absolute absurdity of things like red carpet events and stuff like that.
I've seen a couple of bits and pieces, and I've read a couple of bits and pieces over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Where he's been through this massive life upheaval. Mm. I didn't get the sense from that red carpet thing that I saw that he was being deliberately odd. I think he's actually in the middle of a life transition.
Well, I know that he's, you know, he's done the transcendental meditation thing and that also, you know, he's been, you know, he's given himself to creating art, like it's not acting, for a while. And obviously that issue that he had with his ex-partner who passed away, and then the lawsuit around kind of suggesting that he had something to do. So I think that, I think you're right about the life upheaval thing, but I think he's calling out the absurdity of the celebrity culture.
Mm.
I actually think that's just what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he gets invited to something, he goes, I'm going to go and have a fucking ball. Because he's always been capable of just switching on the absurdity.
Yeah.
And he's played that to the camera to be entertaining. And I think now it's just, he's just going, this is how crazy this is. I think he's lucid. I think he's...
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think he's...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of inference that he's losing his mind.
Yeah, I don't...
That's what I'm looking against. That. No, I don't think so.
I think he's going kind of one step ahead of the kind of Russell Brand thing where, you know, Russell Brand goes to an award show and goes, this is kind of ridiculous, you know. Mm. Yeah. It's like, you know, let me point out that we're all just kind of jerking each other off kind of thing.
Oh, look at that. Right on 40 minutes. And John,
well, we've got two more to go.
Jerk-off noise. What a jerk-off noise.
A classic courtroom drama originally made in 1958 about a grumpy dozen jurors meets Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen, garbage men who dream of owning a surf shop.
Oh,
also the name of a great Australian band fronted by a Scottish guy.
What's that, the name of their film? Wow, yeah. 12 Angry Men at Work.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's good.
Well done.
Jack Black and Tom Cruise.
Right.
In an 80s era movie about kids learning to play in a band.
School of Rock of Ages.
Yay!
Ah, cool. I think you might have done that one. Something similar.
Oh, shit.
All right, one more
each.
That
was in my list of ones I hadn't done.
One more each and then we'll knock this thing on Ed.
Because Casino Royale with cheese. I know we've done that one. Yeah, go on.
Clint Eastwood, Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan team up, become best friends and eventually fall in love in New York whilst hunting down the Scorpio killer in San Francisco.
Oh, my God. Do it again.
Clint Eastwood,
yep.
Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan team up, become best friends and eventually fall in
Billy
love.
So Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan is not sleeping in Seattle.
No.
The other one.
Yes.
When Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
When Dirty Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's too hard. Roger Moore and Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Roger Moore, obviously, is...
James Bond.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy in a film that... isn't necessarily one that you immediately associate with being an Eddie Murphy film, but he's definitely in it because he's the star of it. And it's from the 80s. And it wasn't that well received, I don't think.
The Golden Child.
Mm.
Great film. Fantastic film.
That's when I first heard Rat. Playing on the TV in the bikers.
I love that film. My brother and I love that movie.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Golden Child's great. So, the Goldfinger Eye.
That's not bad, but...
yeah. Well, because Golden Eye is not... that was the other one. That wasn't Roger Moore.
No. Was it? It wasn't.
Goldfinger was Roger Moore, though, wasn't it?
No.
No?
It wasn't.
That was Sean Connery.
Ah.
Right, okay.
There you go. He's narrowed it down.
So?
Oh, God, I think he's in it. Doesn't matter. There's one more. There's one more James Bond film with Gold in the title.
I don't know.
I'll just leave this over here.
I don't know what that is.
Really?
Yeah.
The Man with the Golden Child.
Fucking good.
Is that Roger Moore? The Man with the Golden Gun?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. We'll research.
Okay.
We'll never, ever tell you. You'll have to look it up for yourself.
What? You know what?
What?
I forgot the Movie Werger's theme song.
Oh, this is a Movie Werger's theme song?
And a Song Werger's theme
it,
song.
Save it for the next episode.
Really?
Yeah. For when I get back from overseas, from my holiday.
Oh, that's right. You're going away.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, you've gone away.
No.
Wait, what's happening?
I'll be leaving.
Where are we?
This is released. The day this is released, I'll be leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, great.
So everyone's got your CD by now?
No.
No one's got your CD by now?
The artwork went off yesterday, and so the CDs will probably come in while I'm away, so there will be... I'll pick them up probably the day or two after I get back.
Okay.
And then early October I'll send them out.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Have we done a wash up about that?
No, we'll do that in episode
40. Will we? Look at you being all diligent.
You
yeah, fuck
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we can have this wrapped up by 45 minutes. Ready?
Okay. Dom at TRC Duo.
Matt at TRC Duo.
Podcast at TRCGuo.com.
Yes.
.au?
No, just .coms.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Instagram.
TRC Duo.
Twitter.
I don't know.
Facebook.
TRC Duo. Just Matt and Dom. You probably know who we are.
Look us up.
Yeah.
You know, and come and see us at a gig. Do you know we never really mention our gigs?
Yeah, that's all right.
No, it's not.
Why?
Come and see us at our gigs.
All right, come
don't
and see
be
us
a jerk. Come and see us.
Come to my birthday. That's already happened.
It was going to be a good night.
Yeah. Hey, good night.
Good night.
What's this?
All right, Johnny Young.
What's this? It's going to be
close
over.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
I thought you were going to say fisting.
Tomorrow.